This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Folks, you've heard me say that it's incredibly important to vote, and it's never more important than in this election when we elect the next governor of the state of Louisiana. And we said that we would get as many of the candidates who have announced that they're running on air so that you can assess each and every one of them for yourself. And today we're joined by Republican Zan John, running for governor. Zan, welcome to the show.
Sheriff, thank you so much for your service, and honored to be on your show.
Thank you, sir. I've not interviewed you before, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, sir. So I have an 11-year career in oil and gas production here in the state of Louisiana. I stood up in 2020 against the whole COVID hoax lockdowns. I was trying to let everyone know when I ran for Senate against Deep State Bill Cassidy, who voted to impeach Trump, that this was all pre-planned with Event 201. I'm a patriot, native Louisiana, and I'm not going to stop fighting for the truth.
So, Zan, I'm sure you've been out on the campaign trail. What are you hearing from the constituents of the state of Louisiana as to what their priorities are?
They're fed up. You know, censorship and things like that have no place in Louisiana, all this wokeism. But what the most difficult thing to relay to everyone, because there's so much artificial feedback, is letting people know that these are supranational groups and top-down movements. You know, no one's asking for all this Bud Light and Target wokeism. That's all brought around by these big NGOs that set out a social credit score for businesses, if you will, an ESG score. And so people have to understand, and it's sad because it's not taught in school, and or if you did teach it, you'd probably get shut down. But all these problems we're facing, no one's asking for, one. And two, it's going to take everyone getting together and acknowledging what the real problem is to actually combat it. So I'm dealing with lots of frustrated people because we could have a renaissance if we wanted, you know, if it was just easier to drill and produce carbon and, you know, open up that Keystone pipeline, no reason for it to be shut. You know, we could have a much simpler life, and we are on the verge of that. And this is literally, I put it in that dichotomy of this is a fight of right versus wrong, not right versus left.
So let's go to a couple of key issues. I've asked most of the, I've asked all of the candidates that we've had on thus far about where they stand. Obviously, let's talk about abortion. Where do you stand on that issue?
It's not health care, I can tell you that much. In this country, aborts babies for convenience. You know, with the exception of extreme medical anomalies you know, incest, rape, things like that, there should be no need to do that. I mean, that's hard. I mean, when you don't value human life, what do you value? And there's been an ongoing concerted effort by the mainstream media to make it fashionable, and it's not.
So you would be in favor of exceptions. That has been voted down thus far in the legislature.
Only an extreme exception, but I'm totally fine with
Tell me what you define as extreme exceptions.
I just went over those, sir. So incest, rape, or some sort of extreme medical anomaly.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would have no problem with this state being completely anti-abortion.
What else are you hearing from folks as you make your way around the state, Zan?
Well, we all know that if this Sean Wilson guy wins, it'd be a third term of John Bell. It'd just be a microcosm of what's happening with Obama and puppet Biden. A lot of people are worried about all of the farmland that Bill Gates is snatching up, that 70,000 plus acres. And, you know, all he wants to do is give us GMO food and sewage water. So also, too, people are worried about crime. I hear a lot about that. And we have this social decay that is brought upon us by these leftist law schools. You can't get in if you're conservative. Look into that, people who don't believe me. And also, too, you got these George and Alexander Soros DAs that'll just, you know, let repeat offenders out. So
what would you do if you were elected governor to combat that?
I'd immediately get rid of all the George Soros funding. We'd have to immediately expel all these people that do not let this balance of
How do you get rid of George Soros funding? I mean,
you call it out. You are uncensored and not banned whenever you let people know what's really going on. People could understand how this nation is, and subsequently this state is being undermined, they would know how to constructively unscramble this egg, if you will. So with this nuance coming about in 2020 of censorship banning, shadow banning, it's harder and harder to get the right message out, or just an unfiltered message out. And it's such a shame. So us people on the right, or just like I say, us rational people, just we have to do more for less. And the more involvement, the more eyes on it, the harder it's going to be for these Democrats and NGOs and billionaires to sabotage our natural balance of rational politics.
There's a couple of bills making their way through the state legislature right now on transparency relative to juvenile records. Where do you stand?
Transparency on juvenile records. I haven't given that any thought. I do know, not to deflect, but there's a concealed carry bill. What is it, 131 or 177? I have it somewhere that's being proposed again. I'm worried that John Bell is going to kill it. But the youth transparency thing, sir, I don't want to talk about something I haven't researched. So forgive me for not being prepared for that question.
Not a problem. I was going through some of your what you call a sheet that of where you stand on issues. Excuse me, got a little tongue tied there.
Yeah, totally fine.
And I know one of the other bills that was just recently voted down in Health and Welfare Committee on the Senate side was relative to gender affirming care. Your thoughts?
Oh, that's the inmates running the asylum. To even dignify those people. I mean, and I know I always go off on a jag about these things, but that is deep-rooted Tavistock agenda. If people just simply look up the Tavistock Institute and understand what their agenda is, this is part of the sterility movement. If the Democrats and this deep state can't get you in the womb, they want you sterilized. And so this gender-affirming, that means going along with someone's mental illness. There are men and women. There are only XX and XY chromosomes. That cannot be denied, but you're supposed to look past that in the name of political correctness, which I'm completely against. I mean, it's just a complete erosion of rationale, and we can't let that happen. So, of course, I'm completely against it, and I won't even dignify people with that mind virus, that social decay. I mean, it's just you'll get nowhere. It's a bridge to nowhere.
So if you were asked today what you thought was the most pressing issue in Louisiana, what would you say it is?
It's multifaceted, but I think right now it's our economy. We could be self-sufficient and not have to worry about others, and so many good things would stem from having a strong, healthy economy. So lowered taxes, enabling us to harvest our natural resources, oil and gas. We're combating, you know, Louisiana, which is so oil rich, we're combating this misnomer that carbon is a pollutant, and it's not. Man is a carbon-based being, And so if we could do what's called secondary and also tertiary recovery in these zones, we would have a lot more oil. So there's just so much untapped potential, literally, beneath our feet. And that would help with the economy. And because of leftist and woke ideology, that's become more expensive and harder to do. So I think the biggest thing facing us is our economy, because once we fix that, so many things would be easier to tackle after that. And the state of Louisiana would have the money it needs to do constructive activities, like vamping up our infrastructure and such.
A number of other candidates highlight education as part of that, their platform. Where does that fall for you on your platform?
It's extremely important, definitely top five. There is an ongoing effort to screw up the minds of the youth, and we see that with all these hip advertising and colors and flags. And there's a reason why Hitler wanted the youth so bad, is because you control the youth, you'll control the future. And our youth is being purposely sabotaged, I feel, and people aren't, or students and youngsters aren't able to learn what is going to be actually productive and conducive to a good productive society later on in life. So education needs to be, I feel, completely overhauled as far as what is taught. And the institutions that are funding these schools, or private schools, public schools, or however they get their money, it's always with strings attached. Like, you need this money to do this. Well, you got to teach this curriculum. And that's one of the ways we can stop this vicious cycle. These schools need money and they need upgrades. But, it's corruption in exchange for convenience.
So when you look at the public education system in the state of Louisiana, as governor, you have a lot of influence in the course that that will take. What would you tell your constituents?
I tell my constituents that schools need to have a more practical application as far as what they're teaching. We need to teach gun safety. We need to teach about how to manage businesses. We need, like I said, again, I know this is a broad statement, but we need a complete overhaul of what's being taught. Of course, reading, writing, math, these basic things. But also, kids don't need to go to school and learn what gender they need to choose and all this stuff. And it even goes into our public universities, like LSU and all these other schools that are becoming extremely woke. And I mean, you can't walk around the university with a Trump hat on without being heckled, because the leftists, an overrepresented group, and that's a shame. It needs to change, and more people need to stand up and call it out for what it is.
But fundamentally, I mean, that can't be the only issue with education, is wokeism, DEI, CRT, whatever. I mean, this is not a monolithic challenge, where it's one issue in higher ed or in K through 12.
You're right. If you want to refine the scope a little bit, maybe I can comment further.
Yeah, I mean, I just was curious. I mean, you've gone to that a couple of times, and I'm just curious. It can't be only that issue. There has to be challenges relative to challenges relative to funding. We have a decreased number of enrollment that in schools. How are we going to manage that? Governance. We have multiple systems in higher ed within the state of Louisiana. Does that make sense? Do we have too many four-year colleges? Not enough. Too few two-year? Not enough.
All that stuff I'm not well rehearsed on. I haven't given it as much thought, obviously, as you have. I finished my education, and so while I do know it's a pressing issue, to go further into these issues, sir, I don't want to talk to something I don't know.
Wait, Zen, when you say you finished your education, I'm not sure I understand what that means. I mean, mine has never ended.
every day. No, I'm not taking it down from an academic. No, we will always be learning. It's best to have an open mind. Look, I don't know it all. I'm not trying to act like I know it all, but I know I'm not going to be another guy that sat back on the sidelines and just fussed about politics. that's why I'm getting involved. And I always want to push the envelope for truth, because it seems so few people will want to, because of this whole counter movement and, censorship.
If you had to pick one thing that you would change in Louisiana tomorrow, what would it be?
It would definitely be making it easier to drill and get all these hydrocarbons that are underneath our feet. I'd make it easier to harvest our natural resources while being responsible. But there's a war out, like I said, against carbon, and it's a complete joke. And this country, this nation, this state could be completely self-sufficient, arguably. And we have all the resources to do such. We are just limited by laws and things like that.
Right. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I want people to ask yourself, is your candidate pro-government or pro-freedom? So demand Van John, Louisiana first. And I sincerely appreciate your time, Sheriff.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And we'll
yes,
be
sir.
Visiting again, I'm sure. All right. Van John, a Republican candidate for the office of governor in the state of Louisiana. 504-260-1870 on the Equinox Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We will continue to bring each and every one of the candidates that have announced for governor here on the show for you to determine, to listen to what they have to say and whether or not you want to explore their platform a little more. And we have several set up for next week that'll be coming your way, and we'll continue through this process. I believe it's important to educate yourself about the candidates, each and every one of these candidates. I respect the fact that they've put themselves out there. It's not easy. Haven't done it myself. You really open yourself up to a lot of criticism and otherwise, and and some will applaud you and some will boo you, and it's a difficult process, but it's a process that works for us. And you'll come across folks that you may characterize one way or another, and I get it, I understand, but the fact of the matter is it's hard to put yourself out there. It's hard to educate oneself about all of these issues. Some do it better than others. Some are living that life more than others. And so I just try to be probative to see where people, what they're thinking, what they're putting out there, where they stand on some of these issues. It seems as though the last of the individuals in the death of Linda Fricke, Lanira Theophile, has been found competent to stand trial for the carjacking death of Ms. Fricke. The trial is slated for next year. This case is going through a number of machinations, none of which are surprising. the defense lawyers are doing what they're supposed to do, and the prosecution, thankfully, at this point, is doing what he's supposed to do, and all four of these juveniles are charged as adults and could face life behind bars. Louisiana has blocked its fifth attempt to abolish the death penalty. Lawmakers pushed that back on an 11-4 vote. This is a bill that's been introduced by a Jefferson Parish legislator whose name escapes me at the present time. I don't know why that is, but I just can't seem to get it. But anyway, so once again, look, people ask me this all the time. I like having the option of that death penalty there. And we may not exercise that option. And from a prosecutorial and evidentiary standpoint, and because of all of the appellate procedural issues that are there that they can that the defense can avail themselves of, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. It's a very costly process. I get that. I don't disagree with a lot of that. But I still like having the option. And, you know, this case the other day where this that the DA said was a domestic case where we had this juvenile who was charged with juvenile life, and that has changed as a result of the Supreme Court ruling. We end up modifying his sentence. The DA does something a little different to work to the benefit of the defendant, circumventing the normal process, because he then goes to the parole board and gets parole on a manslaughter because of the number of years that he had served. And then he ends up shooting and killing a woman, and then while she's dead on the street, rolling over her in her car. Now, they've charged this individual with second-degree murder, right? I don't know all the elements of the crime, and I don't know if there was a possibility of charging this individual with first degree. But when I have someone that's doing something as egregious as that, I mean, the young lady's dead. You're going to roll her, you're going to roll back and forth over with the car? When is enough enough? How egregious does it have to be? I don't know about you. I'd love to hear from you. But I'd love to have the option. Because I think every now and again it's worth our while to send a message. It doesn't mean we have to exercise the option. But I'm not in favor of eliminating the option. Let's go to Charles in Baton Rouge. Charles, you're up. Welcome to the show.
All right, how you doing? Look, I want to compliment you on, I listened to you coming back from New Orleans about the insurance stuff, and it was very informative. But and I complimented you on your interview style. The candidate you had on, I personally didn't think he had an original thought in his head. All he was doing is doing talking points. The deep state, I've heard it all. It's nauseating. You know, I mean, I'm a common sense person. And he kind of, to me, condescending of people who don't agree with him. First of all, I'm a retired teacher. We did not teach gender identity and all that stuff in school. We were teaching the four basics. We didn't have time for all those other classes he had. We had a seven-hour day. I don't think he's ever spent a time in a classroom. He's talking about, you know, all these other things about woke, all this other stuff, you know. It's annoying. What he has is, I see him with an extreme point of view, and I'm sure you understand it's oil and gas. I'll give him credit for at least having rape or incest exceptions on abortion. At least, but I think the Republicans are getting the message that if they don't have that, they're going to take a beating. But he was going through, and I see Louisiana has a. They have a lot of laws and I agree with Governor Edwards, a solution in search of a problem. I'll give you a perfect example. The transgender sports bill, which I don't think biological men should be playing women's sports, but the LHSAA clearly states that. We don't need a law. We don't need the state getting involved in all of that when our organizations do that. What are they going to do? Because, are they going to take the officials from a game they don't like the way they call, bring them up in front of a Senate committee?
Charles, let me interrupt you right there. I would disagree with you, because I wouldn't want to be beholden to the whim of the LHSAA if I was a young athlete and I was embarking upon my athletic career and I was making all of these sacrifices. When I look across the country and a lot of similarly situated regulatory organizations have not only changed it once to be more liberal, then they changed it back to be more restrictive. Then they're trying to find something in between, and all the while, my athletic career is up in a turmoil, because one day I'm competing against biological males as a woman, and the next day I'm not. And I think this is an important.
Can I make that point?
Sure, go ahead. Yes, sir.
First of all, I've been involved with the LHSAA for the last 40 years. And I know the LHSAA, and I know the people involved in that. Most of them are the kind of voters that would vote for that guy's candidate. They are not going to do that. Everyone thinks that they look across the country. I know they're not going to do that, because when the government gets involved in that, they don't just stop with that, because I've officiated high school football in the state for a number of years. I can see where once they get involved in that, then they're going to get involved in, well, that team was cheated, and they're going to start. I can see that happening, and I know what they're going to do. They're not going to change. They think we're going to be like California. We're not. And I, there's so much knowledge. I'm involved in that. I know it like the back of my hand. I've been involved in that. I've been involved in teaching. I know what we're doing. And everybody looks on all these television shows, oh, this is what it's like. It's not. And I think that everyone thinks, everyone thinks that's the way it always is. It's not. And I think that if they do get involved with that, that's fine. But eventually, that's going to be settled in the courts and settled in the Supreme Court. And eventually, you're going to get an answer on that.
Right. And the quickest way to get that settled and to have the proper foundation for that question to be asked in the courts is to actually have a state law. And there's no guarantees in life. And members of the LHSAA come and go. And the public has very little input as to actually who is going to be on that in that organization and serving in a governing authority in that organization. I'd much rather vote up or down on candidates as to where they're going to stand on that issue for the preservation of the rights of women to be able to compete with other women and not biological males. And as skeptical as I might be sometimes of government, not to the extent that I'm going to choose the LHSAA over the state legislature. Much rather than pass that rule and then we'll tee it up and go from there. It's just my view. There was not too long ago people were saying that we're looking for a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. Seems to be knocking on the door just about every day and in just about every walk of life. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So just to kind of add to the point that I was making about relying on the LHSAA as opposed to a law being passed in the state legislature, I kind of liken it to some of these private schools and some other public schools that have their local school board, not those that are elected, but that are appointed or running just in that school. So there's an example. And I talked about this before. The Elliott K through 8 Innovation School in Boston gave 6th and 7th graders a health behavior survey. And it began to question them about their sexual history. Now, they're 6th and 7th graders, right? They talked about oral sex. They talked about transgenderism. How about I just read you the questions? Now, somebody made the decision that this is a good idea, right? It had never been done before, but all of a sudden now, in the context of this transgender ideology that's being bannered about all over the place, we should go and ask 6th and 7th graders, which of the following best describes you? A, heterosexual, in parentheticals, straight. B, gay or lesbian. C, bisexual. D, I describe my sexual identity some other way. E, I'm not sure about my sexual identity questioning. F, I don't know what this question is asking. Might be the most appropriate answer. 7, the next question, number 7. A transgender person is someone who does not feel the same inside as the sex they were born with. Are you transgender? A, no, I am not transgender. B, yes, I am transgender. C, I don't know if I'm transgender. D, I don't know what the question is asking me. Then they move to sexual intercourse. 6th and 7th graders. Have you ever had sexual intercourse? A, yes. B, no. Next question. With how many people have you ever had sexual intercourse? A, I've never had it. B, one person. C, two people. D, three people. E, four people. F, five people. G, six or more people. What do you think the sixth grader's thinking as he's reading or she's reading this question? When you have all of these options, you think maybe there might be this hint of an expectation and a wonder? Well, I haven't had it, but my God, I mean, obviously they wouldn't ask this question unless some people were out there having sex with 5 and 6 people already in the sixth grade. Next question. The last time you had sexual intercourse, is that almost like confirming what you might have been thinking in the previous question? Did you or your partner use a condom? A, I've never had sexual intercourse. B, yes, my partner used a condom. C, no. Of course, they didn't put D in there. It's like, I don't know what a condom is. The next question. Have you ever participated in oral sex? Oral sex is when a person puts their mouth on another person's genitals or private area. A, yes. B, no. So I don't have a lot of confidence in putting these decisions in the hands of these individuals that are sitting there operating these schools. They've never felt the need to ask this question before, right? And all of a sudden, because we've got a move across this country about this ideology that is completely statistically insignificant, that we should expose our young kids and our schools to questioning about their sexual identity, their sexual proclivity, and how much sex they're having. Now you tell me, what do you think they left that room thinking about after having had these questions? Now, 6th and 7th graders could be probably as young as 11, maybe as old as 13, had a lot of interaction with my kids, very proactive with my children. They're not too terribly removed from this. It's not like these issues didn't exist at that point in time. I'm not sure that I would be comfortable with my children while at school being asked these questions. And I know for certain that this is a more appropriate conversation to occur at my home, not decided by some other school, which, by the way, the caveat here is they never sent a slip home asking for the teacher's for the parents' approval to ask these questions. But if you went to the local McDonald's on a field trip, you got a slip for that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
You know, do I like just feel like this is a Friday alone, or do you feel like this is like Friday? It just it's so many people are traveling today that it just seems like this should be a Friday, but it's Thursday.
We're the only ones left home.
Apparently so. All right, we'll talk about Memorial Day travels ramping up. Are you traveling? Where are you going? And any good ideas for a last-minute trip to go somewhere this weekend if somebody is thinking about, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe I need to get out and go somewhere. Gen Z is shunning skinny jeans and replacing them with looser-fitting pants. Do you go along with trends, or do you kind of stick with your own style? Listen, Duel, I try to tell you, tight-fitting jeans go out of style, I've got a whole bunch of them that I'm going to have to give away.
They go out of style when I wear them out. That's when they go out of style.
So we've got a few serious things to talk about, but not many, and we're really going to treat today more like a Friday.
All righty. Got a great lineup coming your way, folks. Stay tuned. Scoot's up next. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.